Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, this morning, and I sense the Holy Ghost very strongly, just wants us all to just draw into Him as we listen to the message this morning, just to draw into Him. You know, if you're discouraged about anything, or if you're encouraged about anything, just draw into the Lord, into the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. James, the first chapter, says to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So I'm going to be emphasizing the doing part of the word. Doing the word. We all learned about faith last week, amen? And we're going to learn about some more faith today. Are you ready? Because last Sunday, I believe we made the declaration that we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Amen. So Miss Cassie is going to give the message today on faith. I've talked to her about this. And I'm just going to sit here and enjoy this and hear what the Holy Spirit has spoke to her about faith. Amen?
Amen. Is it good to be the house of the Lord? Yes. It is. We have come here to receive, to give to the Lord, and to receive. Something that as we were worshiping there, something that the Lord had put on my heart. I'm going to continue teaching on the shield of faith. Yeah. I'm going to continue teaching on the shield of faith. And something that was just, the Lord was speaking to me just as we were worshiping was, and Pastor Mitch said it too, about discouraged. Because if you've been discouraged or you're encouraged, is that I just kept really sensing in my spirit, I kept hearing, you know, that if you are discouraged or disappointed, and man has let you down, or things have not happened in the way in your life, the way that you have thought that they were going to be, it has to do with, it's all tied into the shield of faith, is that you dropped your shield of faith. Because man is going to disappoint us, right? But that's not what the song said about God. All of our hope is in Him. All of our promises is in Him. That's where we get our strength and our joy. Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to learn a little bit more about our shield of faith and how to keep that shield strong. Let's see. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your presence. Lord, we thank you that your presence is so strong here today. Lord, we love your word. And we ask that you will open up your word and give us revelation light by your sweet Holy Spirit, who is the revealer of all truth. We want to know more, Lord, about faith, and we ask that you increase our faith, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. 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 I'm going to turn to a few scriptures. And the very first scripture that I'm going to turn to is Romans 5:17. And I want somebody to turn there, and I want them to stand up, and I want you to read that nice and loud. Romans 5:17. And when you have it, turn there, or let me know. Who has it? Luke? Stand up, sir. So it's talking about through Jesus, who reigned, we now what? We now have the abundance of life and to reign. The abundance of grace to reign in this life and beyond. Amen? Amen. Are you reigners?
Amen.
Oh, come on now. Say, I am a reigner.
I am a reigner.
Is that a word? I don't even know if reigner is a word. Let's say, I reign.
I reign.
And I have victory. Through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. All right, turn to, I know, my little literature person over here, my grammar, she's laughing at me. Rainer, I made up a new word. Okay, I have another scripture I need somebody else to turn to, and it is 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Who has it? Laura, nice and loud. give thanks to God who gives us the what?
Victory.
Yes, he's given us victory, and he's making us, he's already made us what?
Conquerors.
Say, I have victory.
I have victory.
And I am a conqueror.
And I am a conqueror.
In Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Woo! Amen. 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 So God, through Jesus Christ, he's given us that power and authority to reign and have success no matter what it is. No matter what it is. He has fully equipped us and provided for us everything that we need on this earth. Amen?
Amen.
We began to touch on it. Pastor Mitch did an awesome job last week in beginning to talk about faith, and I loved his visual. Aren't visuals great? And just seeing all those holes punched through the shield and how that can leave a person vulnerable. Thank you. Vulnerable to the ways of the enemy. Let's go ahead and turn to that Ephesians, and let's just make sure we're going to read that when he's talking about everything that God has equipped us with in this life to reign. Ephesians 6 and the armor of God. It starts in 6:10 through 18. And I'll go ahead and read that. Are we there? Everybody there? All right. Okay. Ephesians 6. And I'm going to flip back between King James and between Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully stand up against the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, the rulers, this present darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on the breastplate of integrity or righteousness, and having shod your feet in preparation with readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To the end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all saints, God's consecrated people. Wow. He has fully covered us. There's nothing there that he has not fully equipped us with and made us ready to be able to stand up against anything that comes our way in this life. And I love it when he goes back to that shield of faith and he says, and he emphasizes it in the King James, and he says, above all, so he's saying, this is really important, above all of these, taking your shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. Not just some of them, but all. So this is the only one he said above all. You think it's pretty important? God wants to get it across to us. Now God in his word, he always teaches, he always uses something in the natural. He uses something in the natural to teach us something in the spirit. And so you have Paul, who is writing Ephesians. So he's in the church of Ephesus. And what do you think was around there that he used as his example? There's a Roman soldier. Roman soldiers. Everybody could relate and identify with the Roman soldier and their equipment. So he's using the Roman soldier as an example, as a metaphor, so that the people would get it. Amen? And so here's what the Roman soldier looked like. I think they're shiny and pretty. But fully equipped, look. He is completely covered. Completely covered. He's ready for battle. He is ready. He is fit. He is active. And then you see how big his sword is. Or you see how big his shield is. Look at that shield. Now the shield, first I want to teach you about the Roman shield, and then we're gonna look at that in the natural, and then we're gonna bring that over in the spirit and say, okay, God, what are you teaching me then from the purpose of the Roman shield and how it relates to the spiritual shield? Okay? There's two aspects to faith that grow our faith, and that is these two things. Okay? Every day, one of the most important things, well, first let me say this. The shield, when you get in the Word and you study out the Greek word for shield was thuros. It's T-H-U-R-E-O-S. And it's the same word that they used for door. It was a maximum of 3.5 feet wide to 6 feet tall, and it was a rectangle. And you can see it there. Now, this one doesn't show really well, but it was shaped like a turtle shell. So it was kind of curved around all the sides for better protection, as well as darts and things that would be coming towards it on the parts that were kind of curved. The darts would hit, or the arrows would hit, and they would expel off. It would repel. Okay? It was really lightweight. Sometimes it was made out of wood, and that would be covered with animal hide. And often, even before they moved into wood, they moved into just animal hide. They would take 6 layers of leather, and they would weave it tightly together, and that was sturdy. That was sturdy, 6. But you know what? In order for it to be really sturdy, they would have to do something to it every single day. They had to care for their shields. They had a specific routine, a morning routine, that they would get up and do in order to care for their shields. If they did not take care of their shields, then it would break down because leather, I don't know if you've ever had anything that's leather, leather shoes, that if you don't care for them, if you don't put oil on them, there's certain things you need to do, then it starts to break down and crack. You have anything? Anybody's ever seen that? Things that have break down and cracked over a period of time, aging. Leather can stay around forever, but you have to take care of it. Now, when they would use these shields and they would march into battle, they would all be in a line in one row after the next, and they would be having their shields. And so this is how they would march as a group. When they would march into battle, the first ones would have their shields in front of them. And then the second row, then they would be covering the first row and the second and the third, because then they would lift their shields up. The ones on the sides would turn their shields to the side. So here the entire army was working together in order to protect every aspect of that body, because if there was one weak link, it affected and opened up the door for the enemy to prosper and defeat them. Do you see that? Okay. So every day this is what they would do. They would get up and they would take their shield down and they would dip it in water because they wanted to keep it damp. They wanted to keep it damp for that every time that an arrow would come, if it would be on fire, it would just completely blow out. So they would dip it in water every morning. Then after that, they carried a small bag of oil on their hip. They would take that oil. They would never pour the oil right on the shield. They would dump it in their hand, and then they would begin to, or on a cloth, and they would massage the shield, rubbing it deep in. And by doing that, made it pliable. It meant that no matter what type of weathering, no matter under battle, it would not break down. But the water and the oil were key, were crucial, so that shield would hold up under great stresses of battle. There were 3 types of darts They call them darts or arrows. If you want to call them arrows, that's fine. But the word calls them fiery darts. There's three type of darts. And they were 2-inch tipped that people would use, the enemy would use. They would use ones that I said that had fire on them. And then they were ones that were combustible. That they may hit you or they may hit your shield and just boom. And just totally just kind of knock you off kilter. So 2-inch ones that were just intended to cut deep. Cut deep and just hurt you and make you just bleed all over. You getting the visual? And then there were the ones that had fire. The ones that would try to burn you, try to singe you, try to really kind of distract you, knock you a little off, kind of get you not focused on what you were supposed to be doing. And then there's those combustible ones. The ones would just boom, and that they would just really shake you to the core. Shake you to the core so that you really would forget about what you were doing, and you'd react to the situation. And you wouldn't be able to fight your battle. And you'd fail. So here we have Paul using the example of the soldier, and he's trying to teach the people. God's trying to speak to us and teach us what it means. So God has given us this shield. He's given us a shield that it has to be cared for every single day. Or it's going to get stiff, it's going to break over a period of time, it's going to crack under pressure, and you know what? It's finally going to fall to pieces. A Roman soldier was only in charge of his shield. He never could take care of anybody else's. You could never depend on another soldier, even though he was your buddy and your comrade, to take care of your shield every day. Each soldier was responsible to do that. Nobody else could do it for him. Now let's take it over from the natural of the Roman soldier and let's carry it into the spiritual of some things that God's trying to speak to us. I'm going to just give you some scriptures and I'm going to just talk. And then you can write them down and you can go back and really get in them and study them out. A lot of these we should be very familiar with. I think we've heard them quite a bit here at Life Church. Ephesians 5:26, it says that how, Ephesians 5:26, and you can write that down, it talks about how Jesus washes us in the Word. He cleanses us. He washes us in the Word. It says he's washed the church in the Word. And it says he's the Word. So he's cleansed us from all unrighteousness. But he's saying that word, if you get in the word will literally cleanse you. It will literally change your thinking. The word, it cleanses us. That's daily time and reading, meditating, speaking, memorizing the word. And Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on my word. Right? Meditate on my word. How often, what is Joshua saying that? Meditate on my word when? Night and day. Meditate on my word. Think about my word. Think about my word. Mull it over. Mull it over. Speak it out. Think about it. Talk about it. We're supposed to be talking about it with our kids. We're supposed to be talking about it when we're walking on the road. We're supposed to be talking about it when we're sitting down. We're supposed to be talking about it every opportunity we can. Talking about the word. Teaching the word. Mulling it over. And Joshua also says that when we do that, it brings us what? Success in all things, prosperity in all things. He says in Romans 11:17, says what, church? Read it. Oh, let's try that again. Church, it says what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there's no other way that faith can come. Faith has to come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we take it, and we do it, we apply it, and we speak it out, faith is increased. We have all the faith that we need. It says in Romans 12:2 that we've been given the measure. It doesn't say a measure. It says the measure of faith. We have been given the very nature of God when we become the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us. Amen? So we have all of his nature, we have all of the characteristics of God. We have the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. Say it, I have the faith of Jesus.
I have the
That's something we need to get a revelation of. I've got the faith of Jesus. And you start walking around and saying that. And that'll start to build you up, because we have a tendency to look in the mirror and go, uh-uh, I don't have the faith of Jesus. I can't do that. He says, I already put it in you. It's in there. Now you get in my word and you release it. You've got the faith of Jesus Christ. He says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 11, he said that the word accomplishes great things. That just as the sun and the rain comes down, the word goes forth and it will not return void. It will accomplish everything that I have intended. The word, my word, my word, it will create life. Revelations 12, 11 says that we overcome by what two things? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. The word of God, and then the word that we're testifying of the goodness of God, of what he's done. Is there anybody in here that God's done some good things for you?
Amen.
I expect to see the hand of every single person. So never should your lips be silent. You should be going around talking and talking and talking about how good God is and what he's done for you. And it attracts them. You know, just this light, and it attracts them. It just zaps them. Attracts them like a bug zapper. I always say that. We just attract them. Attract them. So there's the word. That's the water. There's the water. God says he washes us by the word. That word that cleanses. Then we've got the oil. Listen to this, what the word says about the oil. The oil is the presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by power nor by might, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. That's the oil. That's the anointing. That's the power of God. Isaiah 10:27. When it's talking about the anointing oil of God, it says that it destroys the yokes and it removes the burden. It's the oil, the Holy Spirit that does that. Luke 4:14-19 talks about Jesus after he came out of the wilderness, and he said that I am anointed. I've received that baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've received the endowment of power, the dunamis power, and now I set the captives free. Now I'm going to open up the door to the prisoners, and now I get to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. The blind are going to see, the deaf are going to hear, the dead are going to rise. Everybody that's been broken is going to be restored because of that anointing that's on his life. And then when we have Jesus Christ, oh, when we receive that endowment of power, we got the same thing. The same thing. The same thing that we get to go out and we get to do. That power, that's the anointing. God himself is the great anointer. And if you can just picture this, you know, it's a hands-on situation, man. You see God, the great anointer. And it's almost like he just took, because this is what they would do back in the olden days when they would apply the oil. It was used by physicians, and they would take oil and they'd have a sick person come in and they would pour oil in their hands, and then they would rub it into their body and they would massage it into the sore areas of their body. And you think about God, the great anointer, pouring the Holy Spirit in his hands and walking up and massaging into his son Jesus Christ. And then you think about us. You think about us receiving that endowment of power, just that they did in Acts 1, Acts 2. And God, again, the great anointer, just poured that oil in his hand, and then he just massaged it into his people so that we are completely lavished and covered, filled, completely filled and maxed out. The word says we'll be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, continually filled. Continually filled. This is a very cool thing about oil. This is really interesting. Oil, well, let me tell you this. In Psalm 92:10, David said in Psalm 92:10, you go back and read that. Psalm 92:10, he says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. That's key. in our walk as Christians. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Listen to this about fresh oil when you're thinking about your car or your mowers. You got to put oil, right, in the mowers? All right, okay. And so in your cars, I don't have mechanic's mind. I don't really know anything about oil. I know where it says oil. That's where I put it in. And I know what it is. But this is really interesting about fresh oil. I didn't know why it's so important that you really go and change the oil in your car. But this is why. Oil, when it is exposed to the elements of nature, it evaporates when it's not replenished regularly. Okay? The nature, the elements of nature, it evaporates when it's not put in. If there's blemish or impurity in the composition of the vessel, okay, like you got a hole in your oil tank, that's what you call it, then the oil is going to leak out. Fresh oil, this was interesting. Fresh oil has a density. It needs to be thick. It needs a thickness in order to run your cars really well. It has to be thick. And this is called viscosity. And viscosity is defined as it measures the ability to withstand heat and pressure in order to reduce friction and stress. Did you hear that? Viscosity is about thickness of oil. And that thickness of oil, it gets thin. Oh, it has to have thickness of oil in order to withstand heat and pressure to reduce friction and stress. Fresh oil. A car needs fresh oil. Just like us. We need fresh oil. And we need a fresh word. Now, let's take this and think about what God is teaching us then with the Roman soldier. Okay? We've got our shield of faith, right? It's like really big, right? You got your shield. Everybody get their shield. Get your shield in front of you. Oh, isn't that fun? You got your shield. It's in front of you. It's covering every single aspect of your life. Okay, every single thing, because he says, above all, grab your shield. It's to cover for everything, life. Life covers it all, right? Situations in your job, situations in your family, situations in your body, in your finances. There's your shield. Now, your shield's going to break down if you don't have your water, you didn't dip it daily, and you don't put the oil on it and massage it in. So you got the water of the word. He's saying you need a fresh word. You can't live on yesterday's word. You can't get through the rest of the week. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you can't live on the word that you got here today. You need a fresh word. That's you take the word that you got today and you wake up and you go, oh God, I want more. Give me some more. And then you're like, open it up a little bit more. And it'll be fresh every day. This is why it's so important to read the word. To read the word, to memorize the word, to think about the word, to speak the word out. It is life and death, literally. People, church, we have got to wake up and realize that it is life and death. Literal life and death. So a fresh word, a fresh word. And then you got your oil, the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is where you go and you just, like, can sit. And you stop yakking. And you just sit. And you just, oh, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. Maybe you just love up on him. Lord, I thank you for what you've done. I just ask right now that you just give me just a revelation of who you are. I know I don't walk by my physical feelings, but Lord, I just want to feel your presence. I just want to know. I just want to feel your love. I need you to just strengthen me right now. And then I'll begin to talk to you. You can be out riding on the mower. You can be driving in your car. Or you just get quiet. Just quiet. And he speaks to you. And then he fills you up. He fills you up and he makes that oil so thick, so that when there's the frictions in life and there's the stresses that come against you, that you're not knocked off kilter, because you got your shield. And remember the three darts? You got the darts that had the 2 inches that came, and those are the things that come at your life that just try to rip you apart. You ever hear somebody says, man, no, they just cut me deep. That just hurt me. And then you got the ones with the fire on it. The ones that try to come and try to burn you. Burn you up. They're trying to rock your world. And then you got the ones that are combustible. And there's things that come in your life that the enemy throws at you. You go to the doctor and he says you got cancer and you got 3 months to live. That's a combustible. Whoa. That can shake me. It's when your spouse comes home and says, honey, I lost my job today. That knocks you off a little bit. Combustible things. The stress comes in our life. And what do? We drop our shield. We drop it and we ache and we run. Or we shake. But what is it that I said about when they march? When they march, right? They're together, they're covering each other. This is why we need each other in the body of Christ. Now, I can't give you my faith. I'll stand with you and believe with you, but just like the Roman soldier, nobody else can go and put oil and dip their shield in. You can't get saved off of my faith. You can't get healed off of my faith. You got to go do it for yourself. You got to increase your faith. You got to do it by getting in His Word, by enjoying the presence. But oh my, you call me and I'm going to say, yeah, I'm going to stand with you. Let me share this with you about the Word. I'm going to stand right with you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to come alongside you and pick you up. Right? It's what we do, isn't it? Right, church? You could have went and did your schoolwork, but you stood with them and you gave them hope. That's what we get to do, and what joy there is in that. There's no purpose in life separate from that. There's no purpose, no meaning in life. So we have to have a daily balanced application of the two. Or our shield's going to be hard and brittle and stiff and cracked and fall to pieces. We can't ignore our faith. Don't assume your faith is in top-notch condition. And you know what? I have fallen prey to this one right there. I have fallen prey. I have allowed myself, I like to be candid, I have allowed myself, I got so filled up with the Word, and I was always listening to teachings and just really faithful and spending my time with God. And then you know what? I just kind of let it fall to the wayside. And then some things came in my life. And I was shaken. I was letting it shake me. And I was allowing my emotions to get in the way. And then God's like, Cassie, look what I have for you. You depended on your old faith. So don't think that your faith is always in top-notch condition. It needs to be, it's like a muscle. It needs to be worked. And if it does, if you don't work it, it gets a little flabby, right? It just kind of hangs there. You've been walking, it's still moving. Yeah, you got any of that? I got some of that. Okay, that's a little too much. Top-notch condition. Don't try to play it safe and assume that play it safe and assume that you always need a fresh word and a fresh filling from God. And then you're going to keep your faith alive, active, well, and ready for battle. Jesus is the anointed one. The anointed one. That's what Christ means. And we are the little anointed one when we receive that endowment of power. So work out your faith, get teachings, the Word on your situation, spend time in His presence. And this means to fellowship with God in prayer, talking with, not just talking at Him or talking to Him, but worshiping and praising Him. Praising Him. So you got your two things, right? The soldiers needed what? They needed water and they needed oil. And that's the same thing for us. We need water and we need oil, or our faith is going to break down. And these are not the days for allowing our faith to break down. Right? Church, right? Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for what you have taught us through the Roman soldier, Lord, of how they would care for their shield. They were so diligent about it. They understood their calling. They were a soldier, and they rose up, and every day they would diligently take care of that shield because they knew that their life and death depended on it. So, Lord God, I just thank you for your word, and I ask you that you give us a revelation, that this word will not just fall to the wayside, but every single one of us in here, that we will take this word, and we will go out, and we will mull over it. We will think about it. We thank you for that, Lord, that we will rise up to the calling that you have set before us. Lord, wake us up. Shake us up, wake us up, because we have just lain dormant. Father, wake us up. Wake us up. We say, we commit today that we are getting up and arising and strengthening our faith. So when those times come, we will not fall to the wayside. We will not break down. We will not break down. And others will be drawn to you because of it. We are more than conquerors. And we have victory. Yes. Church, shout the victory. Yes. Yes, we have victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something in our household, Kathy and I. You know, it appears to me that the theme here that we're seeing here, what we're hearing here in church, is that God wants us to be doers of the word. God wants us to be doers of the word. And I'll tell you how Kathy and I do it in our home. Yesterday morning, and it's not just one morning a week or whatever, we do this on a very consistent basis. We'll get together and we'll talk about this is how the Holy Spirit is leading us. And the whole general, if you listen to the messages here in church, the Holy Spirit is leading in the area of faith right now. And he wants us to have, to operate in faith. In Galatians 2:20, it says that we do not operate by our own faith, but we operate by the faith, by God's faith. He's the one that gives us the faith to operate in. Now, what we do is we'll take the word and we'll sit and we'll talk about it. And we will say, okay, how are we going to implement this in our lives? We are examining ourselves on a daily basis and saying, hey, you know what? Are we really doing what we need to be doing? Are we focused in on what God wants us to be focused in on? And it does take diligence because in Galatians 2:20, it says here, and I'll read this to you, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. And there's a lot of people, I believe, that's running around frustrated. There's a lot of frustration out there because they don't see anything happening in their lives. They don't see prayers answered. They don't see things going on. And that's because there's no application of that word. There's no application, there's no doing the word. So the theme that I'm hearing from the Holy Spirit in these last few weeks is, you really need to be doing my word. You need to be applying it, you need to be doing my word. You need to be doing my word, and not just hearers only. You need to be doing my word. You need to be doing my word. So, that's one thing. Yesterday when we go out, and I mentioned earlier in the service, you know, as I've been writing this book on marriage, he told me, I distinctly heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. It came up in my spirit, you're not fulfilling the marriage. You're not fulfilling the marriage. You and your wife are not fulfilling what I called you both to do. And that's to be a blessing in him. So we started going out. I was like, Lord, start with your garden. I want you to touch that, and I want you to see the blessing come upon your garden. I want you to see all the blessing that I have. You're used to seeing what's operating under the curse, but you got to really get a hold of operating under the blessing. Listen, when you see little fruit and little stuff, that's the curse. That's the curse. You got to get your mind renewed to the Word of God and what the blessing is really all about. And what really did it for me was this. And this is just in one area. When I looked at the garden and what they took out of the garden, when he promised them, when he said, okay, go into this land, and remember when the spies came back and they had grapes that both of them had to carry? Two people had to carry the bundle of grapes. That's how I get my mind renewed to figure out, hey, you know what here? If I got me a handful off my grapevines, that's the curse, and the blessing has where it's going to take at least Bill and Micah to come help me carry them away. Amen? So that's what I'm looking for, and that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting in our lives, is abundance and blessing, and to start doing the Word of God so people can see the reality of the gospel in our lives. Amen? Amen. So don't sit back and get focused on something else. Don't sit back and get focused on something else. Focus on what God wants, on His Word, and spending time with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.